Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Jamila Harris, your executive producer and host. Today we're joined by attorney Richard Bourne-Vanek, who's going to discuss for us, Richard, the top 10 estate planning mistakes that we make. And in the fashion after one of our very popular television broadcasts, you're going to take our audience from number 10 all the way to number 1. We're going to have a two-part series for this broadcast, so you won't want to miss the subsequent broadcast of the top 10 estate planning mistakes. So, Richard, please share with us first some initial background and refresher about estate planning for our listeners.
Absolutely, Jamila. You know, I like to say that if a person is absolutely positive and certain that they are going to live forever, and that they will never be disabled, they don't need to worry about rushing to do estate planning. But if those two things don't apply to you, you better think about it. The reality is, of course, that all of us are going to die one day, and none of us know when or under what circumstances, or if, while we're alive, our health circumstances will leave us in a position where we're not able to take care of our affairs. And this is precisely why, when we go through our top 10 planning mistakes, you'll hear among them is going to be this big word, procrastination, because it's a big part of the issue. We need to square up to that. And I think that there's psychological reasons you can think about. There's fear of mortality. There's always something going on in your life that you can distract yourself and say, let me get this squared away and then I'm going to do this. 9 out of 10 times, those situations, while real, don't really justify putting off estate planning, given the possibility that the lack of proper estate planning can be a very significant problem in your life and the life of those who you care about and who look to you for support.
And Attorney Bourne-Vanek, I often hear people say that they think estate planning is only for the very wealthy or that it's expensive. And I don't think people realize that estate planning is very affordable.
Well, estate planning, of course, does cost, but I think its cost is very reasonable, and it's particularly reasonable when you consider the alternative costs. Certainly when we get into estate planning, we talk about the avoidance of probate, and the non-financial cost of time and stress on those who you leave behind who have to address these situations. There's any number of potential problems that arise that have consequences. So I think that estate planning is certainly the thing which should be undertaken, and we try to make it a reasonable cost.
And Attorney Bourne-Vanek, by way of review for our listeners, if you could just share the basic components of an estate plan.
The basic components of an estate plan, in my judgment, should be a revocable trust in which you transfer title to assets so that they are not part of a probate estate, a pour-over will that will provide that any assets that for any reason are not included in the trust should be administered subject to the terms of the trust, and 3, a health care power of attorney and medical directive that will communicate to any health care provider, be it an institution or physician, what have you, an outline of your wishes and name individuals and alternates who you are granting the power to make decisions for you under circumstances when you cannot speak for yourself.
So now that we've completed an update and review about estate planning, Attorney Bourne-Vanek, you're going to start to take us through the 10 top estate planning mistakes that people make. And you're doing this in a very special way.
We're going to take a page from Dave Letterman. I'm sure everybody who's hearing our program has seen his program and his top 10 list of various topics, which are always very entertaining. And so these are the top 10 estate planning mistakes. And I'm going to begin with number 10, and we're going to go to number 1. And we're going to go through them briefly, and then we'll go back to them, and we'll discuss a little bit about each of them. So here we go. Number 10, the failure to consider the use of life insurance in your estate plan. Number 9, failing to consider protective provisions for possible dysfunctional beneficiary issues. Number 8, choosing the wrong people for fiduciary responsibilities in your estate plan. Number 7, failing to consider U.S. estate and gift tax issues in your estate plan. Number 6, failure to plan for contingent beneficiaries. Number 5, leaving assets outright to primary or contingent beneficiaries. Number 4, not preparing a health care power of attorney with a medical directive. Number 3, not following through with putting the title of assets into the trust. In other words, leaving the trust unfunded. Number 2, not having a revocable trust. And number 1, not doing an estate plan at all. So those are our top 10 estate planning mistakes. Number 10, as I indicated, is the failure to consider the use of life insurance. This is because life insurance can serve so many important practical functions in your estate plan and the administration of your estate. Life insurance can create liquidity, cash, that can be used to pay a cash bequest to someone in your estate plan while you leave other assets to be shared by other individuals. For example, if you have a child from a first marriage and you don't want to include them in the home that you now live in with your second wife, you can leave them a cash bequest. If you have a business and you want to leave the family business to one child or to two children, but you have other children who you don't want to leave out altogether, but you don't want to make them partners in the business because maybe that wouldn't be a good idea for one reason or another, so you leave them with cash. There may be debts that you have, a mortgage on the family home. We don't want to leave our surviving spouse with the burden of that mortgage because we might be the principal breadwinner. So again, these are all ways in which life insurance can create the liquidity to make possible the conceptual plans that you have in your estate plan.
And as you have mentioned in previous broadcasts, a life insurance trust is a vehicle that's most appropriately used.
The use of a life insurance trust is very important because if you set up a life insurance trust, it will take the life insurance out of your taxable estate. And we will talk about estate tax issues a little later on. But as a little prelude to that, by using the life insurance trust, it doesn't get counted as part of our taxable estate. Now, we need a separate type of trust to do that. It's an irrevocable trust. And because irrevocable means we can't change it, so we want to be careful what type of life insurance we put in that trust. My recommendation is to use term life insurance because term life insurance provides only a death benefit. If you don't pay the premium, the policy lapses.
We're talking with attorney Richard Born-Vanek about the top 10 estate planning mistakes that we often make. Be sure to visit the website attorneyrichardbornvanek.com. Read the Born-Vanek Review for more information about the top 10 estate planning mistakes one may make. We'll be back with more from attorney Richard Born-Vanek. Welcome back. Attorney Richard Born-Vanek is walking us from 10 to 1, the top 10 estate planning mistakes that one may make. He's described top 10 mistake number 10, and now we continue top 10 mistake number 9 in estate planning.
The number 9 mistake of estate planning is the failure to consider protective provisions for possible dysfunctional beneficiary issues. We talked about this in a program last fall, Jamila. This is the situation where somebody who you want to leave property to, or somebody who may get property as a contingent if someone else dies, for example, may have issues which make it inappropriate for them to have unrestricted control over money. Maybe a child who you already know has an issue with alcohol or drugs or gambling. It may be the potential grandchild who's an infant now, but who you don't know whether 20 years from now or 15 years from now, in the event that their parent were not alive, that they might have developed these issues, which would make it appropriate to have some, what I call protective provisions. These are provisions which allow the trustee to retain absolute distribution of monies. The provisions I usually craft for a client in this area will make it clear that bills are paid, mortgages are paid, etc., on their behalf, but that we don't give somebody who has one of these issues in their life enough cash to do themselves harm. So those are protective provisions for dysfunctional beneficiaries or potential beneficiaries who may or may not be dysfunctional. The provisions are fairly straightforward, and including them in, I think, is a big advantage in our day and time, in our society. It's something which shouldn't be overlooked. Number 8, choosing the wrong people for fiduciary responsibilities. And this is one of the biggest things that comes into updating your trust. You write a trust, and let's say husband and wife are the original trustees. Let's say they got 3 children, and they originally name as a successor trustee a very good friend, someone who they like, who lives nearby, and they see them regularly, and they think that they've got good responsibility, good judgment. Sounds great. And the children, let's say, are small. They're, you know, minors. All right, so we flash forward 5-10 years. And that trust got written and it got put away someplace and nobody ever thought about looking at it for updating it. Well, guess what may have happened? That good friend may have moved away, gone out of their lives, and we might be exchanging a Christmas card or we may say, you know, occasional contact, but they're no longer in our lives in the same way that we were then. We may have somebody else who we think of in that capacity. That's something which should prompt a discussion about whether or not there should be a change made. Conversely, we may have selected somebody and realize over the past number of years that maybe that might not be the best choice. Maybe we've seen some things that have emerged over the years that we now have second thoughts about it. We might not think they were as appropriate to be in charge of our assets for the benefit of our children as we were 6 or 7 years ago. Again, here is where an update function is important. It's important when we choose our successor fiduciaries. Now, let me back up so I can make sure we understand what words are we're using here. Successor, because they're going to take over when we are no longer there. And fiduciary is a word which means someone who has a relationship of trust. So it's a trustee, it's an executor, or we're trusting them to take care of something for us. When we choose them in the beginning, we want to think about their capabilities. I think we've done this in the program also. We've talked about the importance of them having good character, competence. We want to feel comfortable that they are someone who knows how to handle financial issues and property issues, someone who we think has good judgment, somebody who we think will be faithful to our wishes and our directives. We make all those choices when we think about them, hopefully when we pick them. We want to keep in mind their age. You know, if the husband and the wife are in their 30s and they're naming Uncle Joe, who's in his late 60s, and this is the trust that's supposed to apply for their children who are age 12 and down, you know, let's think about the fact this person we've named might be in his 80s at the time when this comes about. So I always suggest we give attention to that when we're picking the individual. And then when we've picked the person, keep that in the back of our mind as time goes on. And that might be an area for update or for change.
And the other area where we often make a misstep is in feeling pressured to appoint or choose one child or another simply because of their position in the family or their age.
Absolutely right. I will tell you that the majority of clients do want a child to be their successor. There's nothing wrong with that. It's natural. It's appropriate. However, it's important to run through those factors when you choose the child. Oldest child might not be the best one. The male child might not be the best one. So go through the drill, and that's something I'll do when I'm interviewing my clients, is we talk a little bit about their children. We talk a little bit about their backgrounds, where they live, what do they do, what role do they have in your life, who's in contact, and so on. How do they get along? We all have personalities, and a child who is difficult to get along with, bossy, and if you see those things, you might want to just say, wait a minute, yeah, they're competent, but I don't know that they would fulfill this role in a healthy, positive way.
Attorney Richard Bornvenek will continue the top 10 estate planning mistakes we often make in a subsequent broadcast. You may visit his website, attorneyrichardbornvenek.com, for additional information about the top 10 estate planning mistakes. Tune in for part 2 on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Empowering You, your source for quality of life and financial success strategies, featuring interviews from experts in finances, law, real estate, insurance, and creating an increasing income. This edition of Empowering You is brought to you by the Law Offices of Attorney Richard Bornvenek, specializing in taxes, estate planning, living trusts, real estate, helping businesses, families, and individuals to manage assets and plan their estates. 340-777-5849. Email Richard@attorneyrichardbornvenek.com. Visit www.attorneyrichardbornvenek.com. JHBroadcast.com, publisher of Create Income with or Without a Job, a Guide to Financial Recovery. Learn new ways to create income despite downturns in the economy. Create Income with or Without a Job is available as an audiobook CD. 340-998-7084. Email jamiladiamond@yahoo.com. jamiladiamond@yahoo.com. Visit jhbroadcast.com. Eagle Realty, specializing in education for home buyers and home owners. Buy, sell, lease, energize equity, and begin producing income with real estate. Email jamila@eaglerealtyvi.com. Visit eaglerealtyvi.com. The information in these broadcasts is provided for educational purposes only. Our listeners are advised to consult licensed professionals in various professions, attorneys, certified public accountants, real estate brokers, insurance professionals, and financial planners. The information in these broadcasts is provided solely for educational information. If you have questions for any of our experts who are interviewed, we encourage you to send an email, call them, or visit their website. Feedback and questions from our listening audience is key to maintaining this broadcast on the air.